In Philippians, since the last series that we did was the characters of this book, and we're going to kind of go a little, not going to get very far, but we're going to be in Philippians 1, verse 1 and 2. Like I said, I won't keep you long because I'd like to get those loaded up. I'm going to keep you forever. Everybody's probably wondering when the lifting and moving and cleaning is going to be over with. We're getting close. Getting real close. Philippians 1, verse 1 and 2 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, tonight as we read your word, Lord, and expound upon us that you show us your face, Lord, that we see Christ and his majesty, Lord, and that you hide me behind the cross, Lord, and that you would let the hearers hear no more about your Savior. In Christ's name. Amen. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's actually, in those two verses, there's a whole lot of sermons in that. As you can tell, we don't go real fast when we're exposing scripture. One sermon could be just Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. Another one could be overseers and deacons. But it's kind of neat that we're going to be focusing on grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, because in my devotion times for the last several months, I've been reading in the office about grace and peace. In fact, I think it was next probably a month ago, Derek had called me and asked what it is, and I told him I was actually been studying on grace and peace, and he said, I don't think I have that one. Who wrote that? I was like, well, it's not a book, but just actually grace and peace. He said, oh, okay. Probably just surprising he didn't have a book. But grace and peace could be, like I said, a lot of sermons. But we're going to focus on that tonight. There are numerous books on the market that offer models for us to pattern our church after. And I know this place is new to us and it's exciting. And what you probably normally see is a bunch of, when a church, which we're not a new church, but a new facility comes to town, and you start seeing a lot of programs being pushed and parking lot circuses and hot dog eating contests and probably all kinds of stuff too for the opening, the grand opening. But really, we're just going to continue doing what we do here and exposing scripture. But there's a lot of books on the market that you can find to model a church after in today's time. Many churches today are convinced that they need a new approach, a new method, a new model, a pattern of church after. Which really is disheartening, and it breaks my heart, actually, because there is a perfect plan for to model our church after in this book that we have in front of us. And it does such a good job of how to not only model the church, but it goes from the church to our families, to our spouses, to our children, to our workplace. And there's really no new word that we need. It's all in this book. It is for us every day. And it's new to me every day. But man-made models will fail. But building a true church upon the word of God will never fail. You know, in Matthew 16, verse 18, it tells us, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you've heard us say time after time, we believe that God is building his church here because of this dry and thirsty land that we live in. He's got to be tired of the gimmicks and everything that's being played. And I feel as excited as we are to be here in this facility. I believe God is just as excited, if not more, because of the plan that he has for us is playing out. And he loves us so much. But I can't help but think he's so willingly and is ready to bless the church if they would just obey his word. We can learn a lot about what we as a church are supposed to be from studying the church at Philippi. Philippi was a solid New Testament church from top to bottom. In fact, in all the other letters, Paul asserts apostolic authority, but not to the church of Philippi. And why is that? Some commentators, and even me myself, believe that Philippi was the most Christ-centered and spiritual church in the New Testament. Dr. John Phillips says, in this rare epistle, there was no doctrinal error to correct, as there was in Galatians, and no gross carnality to rebuke, as in Corinth. Paul was no stranger to Philippi, as he was to Rome. He was breaking no new theological ground. He was writing to supportive friends. Thus, Paul does not assert his authority, but rather addresses the church as a humble servant of God. I can imagine that the load that the Apostle Paul carried, day in and day out, to a life of not only just service to God, but very hard service to God. So writing this letter to Philippi must have given him so much joy. I know as a pastor, whenever you get to put aside the church discipline issues and you get to put aside the wrestling with the things that come along with eldership and a multitude of people, I know I can only imagine the relief that Paul has as he gets to write this church and not have to be that guy that he was in the other letters, right? He got to write a letter where he's not happy to come down upon them for the way they were acting. So Paul got to see and hear how they were growing and maturing and serving the Lord. And it's a true blessing from God to Paul. He was blessed to see fruits of his hard labor. This text reveals to me that the pastor of the local church, if he is a man of God, that is, will be whatever he must be to address that congregation's weak need. If authority, then authority. If love, then love. Because Philippi was so solid, and they were so loving, and so supportive of Paul. But more importantly, they were so Christ-like. Paul did not have to rebuke him in a type of authority. He spent more time on joy and thanksgiving of this church. And based on what I read in Philippians 1, the church of Philippi could rightly be called the model church. The church, God knows we need instruction. God knows we need direction, especially in the day that we live in these dark days. The world, which is the flesh and the devil, would offer us 1,000 different models to pattern our church after. But Grace Life, I want our church, just as Derek and Jason want our church, and just as you that are sitting here tonight, want a church that is modeled after the Word of God. That's modeled after this book. So let's not look to any other source to determine how to do church but the precious Word of God. Let us purpose to be so biblical in all we do that for someone to disagree with us, they would have to violate the Word of God. So if we hit our text where it says, grace be unto you, grace to you, which, wow, John MacArthur nailed that one, didn't he? It's like, man, what a great name for your ministry, grace to you. I probably stole that. But God's loving favor bestowed upon us freely without any merit in us is grace unto you. This favor of God is purely God's choice without interference from any other. God did not have to extend grace to you, to me, to any of us. He did so because of his own choice. What made God decide to show kindness to a wicked and fallen man is got to be the biggest mystery. The closest I could come to understanding why God would do such a thing is his own testimony of himself, where we read God so loved the world. So the question is, church, why do we do what we do for Jesus? You know, why do we come up and move hundreds of boxes and chairs and pulpits and clean and minister to one another, help with the sick, help with our mothers? Why do we do what we do for Christ? What is our motive for serving the Lord? What is the motivation that we have? And I've got the answer through the study of grace and peace. And that answer is grace. That ought to be the motivation and enough motivation for us to serve Christ until we die. Forget crafty ploys. Forget creative crowd drawers. Or forget flesh manipulating schemes. The mere fact that Holy God would in love offer his divine favor toward me through Christ Jesus is all the motivation that I need to serve Christ until I die. And that's enough forever, church. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul is saying, I do what I do because of the grace of God that was given to me. Church, that's what grace is. This amazing gift that we're able to see the gospel because of the grace of God. And then we get to peace. I can line us all up and secretly ask what your definition of peace is, and the world will give us so many different examples. But peace is to cease from war, to be set at one again. To cease from war. See, church, I know what it's like to be miserable. I know what it's like to be at war with a holy God. I know what it's like to feel guilty and dirty and condemned. I know what it's like to live every day of my life enraged in a battle of wills against God. I remember having these thoughts and being so miserable and feeling so guilty. That it completely undone me for, I can't tell you how many days or weeks it became, but it disabled me. It disabled me to be able to do my night shift job. All I could do was drive around, and I was a basket case of emotions because of the weight of sin, and I was just plain miserable. Which came the guilt and the condemned feelings that I was having. But the beauty of that is, I'm proud to report that I lost that war that I was in and was completely conquered. God completely conquered me. So on my knees, I offered to God an unconditional surrender and fully complied with the terms of His peace treaty. And I underlined His peace treaty. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Acts 20. So you ask, how did God win this battle? How did God defeat me? And how did He defeat you? And He has two irresistible weapons in His arsenal. And that's what we were reading tonight. It's about grace and peace. Two irresistible weapons. Dr. John Phillips again says, grace means that war is impossible, and peace means that the war is already over. God came to me and lavished grace on me, and through Jesus Christ declared me at peace with Him. The battle was over before I even knew it. In a moment, I was defeated, and Christ was Lord. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ. And peace is such a wonderful thing. The war is over in my soul, and I'm at peace with God. The application on this is, are you at war with God even tonight? And are you ready to surrender to Him? You can have, or you can leave tonight at peace with God if you will surrender. Accept defeat tonight before the casualties continue to increase. And this is what I learned very quickly, that God never lost a battle. And He's not going to start with me or you. So to the sinner that is struggling for peace, there's only one way to find that. And it's not driven through programs that you're going to find at your church or whatever scheme of mandate to fill the void. Until you realize who you're up against and who you're in battle with. But to the church tonight, to God's people, contention and strife can only flourish in the absence of this grace and peace. When we forget grace, get over the fact that we are saved only because of God's loving favor, when we get prideful in the flesh, this is when problems begin in the church. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Proverbs 13. Church, never forget the grace of God, and you will continue to walk in the peace of God. You know, you can say that to yourself throughout the day, 100 times a day. Never forget the grace of God, and you will continue to walk in the peace of God. If we are aware of, continually aware of the grace that God has given each one of us, that we take for granted, even as believers, I think we quickly forget the grace that was bestowed upon us. And the grace that Christ has shown to us. But we forget that grace, the grace of God, enlighten us every day to continue walking in His peace. And there's such a great sermon in and of itself, because especially in the Reformed camp, we can be extremely, extremely hard upon ourselves and when it comes to our sinful nature sneaking in on us each and every day. And I'm guilty of this, robbing myself of the grace that was showed upon me. That it's hard for me to have peace. That's something that I've struggled with for many years now, is it's just my personality. It's my the way I'm built is I'm the guy that needed to be leveled with how sinful I was and my nature, because I would have never came to know any type of what true grace is. So because of that, and because of that change in my life that happened years and years ago, God has brought, God has revealed so much of His grace through His Word and through my family, that if I'm not walking in peace, it's because of my, what's the word for it? If I'm not walking in peace as one of His children now, it's because I've forgotten, or quickly forget about His grace. And I hope that makes sense to you out there. And we also see the source from God. Verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace and peace is God's, this grace and peace is God's idea, not man's. Had He not revealed it to us, we would never have even seen the need for grace. God took the divine initiative to do everything necessary for you and for me to be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God took the divine initiative to do everything necessary for you to be saved. In Isaiah 53:10, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands." Isaiah 53:5-6, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. All through the book of Isaiah, we see this. We see in Romans 5, if you remember that far back from when we started Romans, Romans 5 talks and says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I'm reading all these scriptures to you because there is no other source for true peace. And have we ever wondered why only Christ is known and His name is the Prince of Peace? And this is why. You'll never have the peace you so long for until you come to Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, when a man hath faith in the blood of Christ, there is but little wonder that he hath peace. When a man hath faith in the blood of Christ, there is but little wonder that he hath peace. For indeed, he is fully warranted in enjoying the most profound calm which mortal heart can know. Another warrior of the faith, J.I. Packer. The peace of God is first and foremost peace with God. The peace of God is first and foremost peace with God. It is the state of affairs in which God, instead of being against us, is for us. No account of God's peace, which does not start here, can do other than mislead. There can be no peace of God apart from justification through the blood and righteousness of Christ received by faith. And the world's peace is relative and fleeting because it is grounded in circumstances. God's peace is absolute and eternal because it is grounded in His grace. And church, does God's peace reign in your heart? Or have you allowed sin or difficult circumstances to diminish your devotion to Christ? As we get tossed here and there through this life, as Paul did, you know, you wonder, as you read through Paul and all these glorious books that the Holy Spirit gave him, you get a glimpse of Paul's life. And if you read Paul long enough, you found a friend. You found yourself where Paul has been. And some of the most convicting times of my life is reading Paul's letters. But the amazing thing about Paul that I always, which has always just blew my mind, was the circumstances that was in his life. He never once, it seems to me, lost that peace that we've been talking about tonight. And as I get a little older and a little bit more mature in Christ, each and every year that goes by, month that goes by, I start to see verses a lot more clear. Verses like these that we've read tonight. And how difficult circumstances in my life that once would have diminished my devotion somehow. Why do they not do that as much or at all anymore? And that's because of grace. So through grace, I have peace. So no matter what Paul was going through, writing these letters in a jail cell, being stoned, trying to be put to death every corner they could turn, and the hardest things, believe it or not, that I read is the constant church discipline that he had to battle with and write rebuking churches that he had just left or had just gave to Timothy. Through all those circumstances, he had peace. And his devotion to Christ just grew stronger and stronger. And that's where we're at as Christians. It's only by grace and nothing that I have done and that you have done to grow and mature in Christ. But by that grace that God has given us, no matter what we're going through and no matter what circumstances, some of the most, the things that our church body has gone through over the past just 10 years that I've been here, that we have wrestled with together and been through together. And it's very, very difficult times. And that your families have been through some rough things. And what causes us to continue and have this unwavering faith and a deeper devotion to Christ? What is the cause and the source of that? Where does that come from? And church, why our church is so blessed is the reason why we're able to go through those circumstances and to do those things. It's not because we're stronger, but it's because our foundation as a church is built upon God's Word. And there's no struggle or circumstances that this Word does not address. And we wonder why so many people, so many church people, fall to their sin, fall to their circumstances. It's because they're starving to death. They're so malnourished from the Word of God. Their shepherd is starving them. So when those waves come and those hard times come, they can't stand it. You know, we have members that have lost spouses. We have members that have lost children. And to hear a member that has been through something like that just cling more to Christ and just to see the beauty of that. Only Christ can do that. Only God can do that. And He does it through His Word. And the only thing that, it's nothing special, the only thing that me and Derek and Jason have is this. There's nothing that we can give you. There's nothing that we can give you that would help you along life's journey aside from the Bible and the Word of God being preached from the pulpit. So as we continue, church, I believe that I'm overwhelmed by this, what God has done in this church. Completely overwhelmed. And I keep telling Derek and Jason, it's funny because we were talking about blocking off the first half of these pews. So everybody has to sit towards the front. Well, I turned around Sunday, there was no blocking pews going to happen because we were quite full. Yes, we obviously have room to grow here, but I truly believe, as I was watching you all Sunday, and our conversations after the service was, we truly believe that God is blessing Grace Life Church because we are faithful to His Word, and we are faithful, and we strive to be faithful in every area. And it's nothing of men. It's nothing that me and Jason and Derek, it's not a new idea that we came up with. We decided years ago that whether there was going to be 15 of us forever, or we split that. At some point, I wish every pastor in this town, in this state, in the nation would just stop what they're doing and read these passages that we read tonight be true to the word and let God build his church. And you know, God's building this church. God's growing this church in his time. And we get the blessing of seeing that. And we get the blessing of growing our children up in this church. And we get the blessing of seeing your fruits. And if I could go back 10 years when we had our first conversations together, me, Derek, and Jason, if I could go back and be in that conversation, I promise you I never dreamed that we'd be where we're at today. I never dreamed that we'd be there. But like I said, I truly believe God is just the world, the state, the town that we live in. Needs a true church. Needs a Bible preaching, verse by verse, non-online teaching church. And if we just do that, God is going to continue to grow this church. And I'm not just talking numerically, but spiritually. And we can just be along for the ride for it. It's a blessing. There's really not, I'm not really good at putting everything into words and being the realist that I am. It's hard for me to do that, but I can tell you that we will always be faithful to the text, to our flock that God has given us. And there is nothing, and there's no gimmicks, and there's no games or ploys or whatever that will ever draw us. We drew the line in the sand, and we'll die on that ground, I promise. I know Jason's heart is the same, and Derek is the same. And now, it's actually on the sign, so I tell people, you know, cat's out of the bag, if it already wasn't, just it's on the sign, so people know. And if they didn't know, they knew Sunday after that message, didn't they? Where we stand and what we believe, and sovereignty of God. So, let's dismiss. Thank you guys for being here. I think just a few guys to grab some totes would be sufficient. I don't think there's, like I said, I think there's like 60 or 65 of them. And we'll get them loaded up in the trailer and say we take them back. But let me dismiss this in prayer. I know I'm forgetting something. That's it. If we have a couple of our babies that can pass out, we got a couple of plates up here that we can pass out for our mission offering. But I'll pray for our missions, and I'll dismiss this. We do have several sick that is text tonight that aren't here. So being prayer for them. I know the Butlers are not feeling well. I know Raquel and Brady aren't feeling well. So we got a lot sick, a lot out. So just check on them. Oh, that's what it was. Let me do this before I dismiss. Man, I almost